What's up, witches? Welcome to season two of the Better Witch podcast, presented by the Modern Witch Network. I'm your host, Allie, aka Bronx Witch. I'm a tarot reader, Reiki master, and owner of Bronx Witch Headquarters, a spiritual shop and witchy workshare space in the Bronx, New York. And I'm going to be coming to you every week this season with a new topic and a new guest co-host to share our real life experiences as witches. Because when we know better, we witch better. Today's guest co-host is Najah Lightfoot. Najah is a multi-award-winning author of titles like the recently released Powerful Juju, Goddesses, Music, and Magic for Comfort, Guidance, and Protection, and the best-selling Good Juju, Mojos, Rites, and Practices for the Magical Soul. She is a regular contributor to the Llewellyn Annuals and a contributor to Tashin, the Library of Esoterica, Volume 3, Witchcraft. Her magical staff is on display and part of the permanent collection of the Buckland Museum of Witchcraft located in Cleveland, Ohio, which is so cool. Najah is a fellow of the Sojourner Truth Leadership Circle, sponsored by Auburn Seminary. Najah lives in Denver, Colorado, where the blue skies and the power of the Rocky Mountains uplift and fill her soul. She can be found on Instagram and Facebook as @NajahLightfoot. And I think one of the reasons why it's notable for me is because you are initiated into private houses and into closed circles and traditions, and you could focus your writing and your research around just that, and that would be totally understandable. I think it would make a lot of sense to people. So for me, it's kind of just like extra special that you're like, actually, I'm going to distill the core, you know, essences of these traditions that I am experienced with and give you that and share with you that, because that is the part of magic that, one, unites us all practitioners, and that, like you said, belongs to the universe and to me really is the magic. I've heard a lot of people say that when you look at the different magical traditions, really no matter which one you're looking at, even ones that don't seem on the surface to be about this, like maybe ceremonial magic that seems to be about a lot of ritual and formality, that at the end of the day, they all distill down to nature and ancestors. That is what they all come back to, being in tune with the natural world, being one with it and working with it instead of in opposition to it, and recognizing that while each of us is an individual to some extent, we are all connected to those who come before us and therefore also all connected to each other.
Absolutely.
That's at the heart of every single magical tradition. And I think that is what lies at the core of what it is that makes someone a witch, and maybe lies at the core of what juju is. Because I wanted to ask you, you know, what is juju? Because I grew up hearing the phrase, you know, thrown around all the time. If somebody puts some juju on you, I'll cheat the juju, you know. And it's a word that got thrown around so casually. My family is from the South, so there are some wacky phrases and things like that. But that one got thrown around so much that I never really thought about it in a magical context. To me, it was just like something special. But how do you define juju? Because it is obviously the title of both of your most recent books. And so why do you look at your magic that way?
Well, I came upon that word juju, one, because everyone knows there's that other phrase, oh, that's that juju. Mm-hmm. And we know that words are super powerful. It's through our words that we do our magic, that we invoke things, that we call to things, that we honor things. And so I always was like, well, everybody knows what that other juju is. I don't even like to say it. So if there's that juju, then there must be good juju. Everyone knows what good juju is. And it's a very magical phrase. When you say good juju, it's almost like you can't explain it. It's almost like it's magic itself. Well, I kind of know what that is. It means I'm doing something. I'm using some kind of magic or faith or spiritual practice. And then as Black people and African Americans, you know, we talk about juju. You know, it's just part of our vernacular. Nobody explains it to you.
But yeah, no one ever did.
No one ever explained it to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but they're like, well, she got that good juju.
I know what you mean, right? So it's one of those words I think that's, you know, in our DNA and in our collective ancestry and memories that we all know what that means. You know, it's also like comes out of that, like, oh, they done put something on her or they done put something on you. Or, you know, if I were you, I wouldn't go over there. Okay, go on over there. I told you not to go over there, but you go right ahead. You know, I'll be here when you get back, you know, and it's kind of like that whole collection of magical faith-based because, you know, my witchcraft is my spirituality. And so, you know, I'm very diligent and disciplined about my practices. You know, we're 2 hours ahead. You're 2 hours ahead of me. So it's just like barely past 7:30. I've already been outside this morning, you know, pouring my water to my ancestors, looking at the moon. I already took a photo of it. You know, I have my practices which sustain me. And so that word juju to me means just that, your faith-based, however that expresses for you, magical spiritual practices. And good juju is all about working magic and practicing your magical spirituality for positive change in your life. And then powerful juju is really focused on those situations that every human, I don't care who you are, somewhere in your life or your family or friends, you're going to come across these conditions or situations or cases in your life where you might need a little bit more powerful, focused work. And I'm very, very connected and aligned with the power of the divine feminine and music. I love music. So it was very exciting for me to pair music with powerful feminine, divine feminine deities, women who were mythological, women who had walked the earth plane, Black women, African-American women, you know, people, women from all different cultures around the world, and see if I could tap into that magic from their lives that, you know, personally had helped me along the way. So that's all that is juju. You know, you can put that in a container of good, powerful juju and you can access it. And it was my goal with my books and my writing to help people feel that they could access it, that they could try to bring these powerful spiritual practices, which have worked for me because everything I write is my authentic practice. This is what I do. I've done all this work and I want people to be able to feel like, oh, if Najah did that, she listens to this music, if she calls upon these goddesses or does this work, then possibly I could do it too.
Yeah. And I think that that phrase juju, it really nails it on the head and is a great way to get people introduced to the heart of the practice of magic without being either overwhelmed or turned off even by, you know, having to do things a certain way or to align or subscribe themselves. I think there's a lot of pressure to identify ourselves as witches and align with a particular group or a particular tradition. I could definitely say as a Black person in America, I feel quite a bit of pressure to align myself with the ATRs or with hoodoo. And I don't particularly feel very drawn to those paths. They inform my practice and are parts of my ancestry that I honor and love learning about. But I don't feel a calling to be initiated in any of these traditions or anything like that. And I think it's so important for witches to know that there's an alternative to initiation or to aligning yourself with a particular tradition, and you are still a viable witch. You are still able to cast powerful magic. You're still able to heal yourself or heal others to bring positive change in your life and affect the world in a better way, in a good way, without saying, I am initiated in this group or I am a part of this, and being able to kind of float into all of the worlds and learn from all of them, I think is something that we can all benefit from. I think it may, you know, we, some of us may end up settling somewhere, but I think it's a great place for all witches to start.
Well, I think I agree with what you said. I think there's a balance of both. And one of the things that's most of us, you're solitary most of the time, but the need for fellowship is important. And so even this that we're doing, it's a virtual community of fellowship. And humans need social connection. They need to fellowship with each other. And so sometimes the solitary path is great, but then you also would like to gather with people. And, you know, the pandemic that we've just been through, everybody kind of really got to see what it's like to not have in-person fellowship. So sometimes you go down the path into initiation in the group simply because you want to fellowship with people of like mind. That doesn't mean that you'll always stay there. That doesn't mean that that's your home, but it is kind of nice to gather with people of like mind in person and practice your craft or your tradition or your path. Now, does that mean that you'll stay there and go on and initiate to all kinds of different levels? Maybe you will, maybe you won't, you know, but you take what you need. Take what you need, leave the rest, and move on. And, you know, I've definitely had that type of path. I've been, like you said, initiated into certain traditions, or, you know, I've been, you know, honorary members of certain covens and things like that. But it's always up to you, like, how you decide to follow through. And sometimes you have to do those things and go down those paths so you can really hone your craft and your practice so you can learn what works. And that's the other thing, you know, that I'm very passionate about, is you've got to do the work. You've got to actually practice the magic, you know, just like when we were trying to explain good juju and the word juju, you know, there is that phrase, divine mysteries. Well, you won't really understand that and you can't really explain it unless you're actually practicing and doing it. And that's what I try to help people through my writing, like, yes, get off your ass and please go do that. Because if you're asking me this question, that means you haven't really done that, or we'd be asking another question. But, you know, so it is difficult, especially if you're solitary, or and even in groups it can be difficult. But you've got to take that first step. And, you know, it's such a boost, it's such a high, you know, when you do your first little act of magic, whatever that is, you know, and you get that ecstasy from it, that divine feeling of you've connected with something super powerful within yourself, you know, because you've decided, okay, I'm going to do this. And so that's why, you know, I like to say I am a practicing witch. Yes. You know, I do the work, as are you. I mean, look at all your stuff behind you. I know who you are. So, you know, and that's part of the path. And as you go along the path, you will discard things that, you know, maybe, you know, 10 years you thought was great and that worked for you, but you don't want to do that anymore. And that's okay. It's fun to experiment and play and decide, like, oh, okay, I really like doing this candle magic this way. That one didn't really work out for me. Or, okay, I was in this group for a while. That was all right, but now I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I'm over here. And I like to give people permission to grow and change and really, you know that it's a journey. You know, you're always moving from one level to the next level to the next level.
Yes, yes. And Solitary Witches out there, bronxwitch.com/events. Check out the calendar. Got some fun stuff coming up. Okay. Just want to plug that, mention that to you guys. Looking for community. We're having our first Witches Single Mingle
the week. Oh, nice.
This was an idea that I had, and I was like, I am the last person, my husband and I have been together for 15 years. I am the last person to throw a single mingle, but I am the perfect person to be an adult chaperone for the single mingle. So you guys come on down and have responsible, good fun with each other and maybe meet your future witchy bae or boo.
Oh, that's so cool. The single mingle. Oh, that should be fun. I'm already...
Go ahead.
I'm already looking forward to pictures. I want to see the single mingle.
I'm determined for there to be some Bronxwich, you know, hand fastings or baby havings. You know, name your children after me, guys. I'm excited.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful.
So that's aside, but seriously, guys, check out the website. But there is, okay, so book club folks, don't get mad at me, okay? I promise I am not reading ahead. Get mad. Marvel Juju is our February book. I am not reading ahead. Please do not come for me, okay? But I did do some skimming, okay? That's it. I did a little bit of skimming. And I came across a passage that I just wanted to share with folks because I feel like, Najah, you do such a great job of describing what Juju is and what it means, just to kind of practice magic and why it is so beneficial to us. And this comes from the introduction. It's on page 3. It's a bit of a lengthy passage, but I think you guys will understand why I want to share the whole thing. So Najah says, "I make no claims. I only know what is true and authentic for me. I know songs heal, fellowship is important, and the sharing of truth is powerful. I know it can be hard to rise up when you feel the world is against you. It can be hard to turn your face to the sun and appreciate a new day when all you feel or see is darkness. It can be hard to believe good is coming, hope is around the corner, or times will change, especially when so much to the contrary tries to convince you to give up. That there's no reason for you to believe your sorrows will be lessened or that you can have a good day. Working and changing your sorrows into joy takes time. It's hard. Darkness likes darkness. It doesn't want you to shine that light upon it. It wants to grab hold of you, smother you, choke you. The less light you shine upon it, the stronger it grows. We are not here to ignore our sorrows or magically wish them away. We're here to do the work. We're here to rise up. We're here to honor our scabby knees and broken hearts, to empty that box of tissue and then another until we don't need that tissue anymore. We're here to light the fucking candle, put a flame to our sorrows. We're here to call upon the power of the divine feminine, stand in the crossroads, and raise our arms to the sky. We're here to strengthen and help each other get up. That's right. I said, get up." I loved that so much. I felt like that was such a great way to look at the practice of magic, to dispel some of the mystery around it a little bit and some of the stuff that might hang people up or give people pause, and to point out that what we are doing is we are bettering our lives and taking control of the narrative of our lives. And rather than being victims to external forces, realizing that the witch is someone, some say women, but whomever, in total control of themselves, someone who understands that that they are not a victim of life's circumstances, that difficult things are going to happen because that is the nature of the human existence, but that we don't need to just lay down and give up hope, that we really do have tools at our disposal to help ourselves and our loved ones through these difficult times. And they may be tools that have been hidden. They may be tools that folks don't talk about. There may be tools that people have even vilified or demonized. But if you get past all of that, we're really just talking about the gifts that we have been given, this whole natural world and the energy around us, to make our lives better.
Absolutely. Well, that's right. We need to have tools. So when I love that you read that passage, because that really is my heart. So it's kind of like levels. You had good juju as part of your book club, and that was, you know, like you said, for more of a beginner person, someone who's never really practiced magic at all, but is very curious and wants to have some foundation, some things that they can do. The other side is that, you know, shitty things happen in life. you know, globally, in your home, in your family, your workplace, you know, turn on the news, there's all kind of horrors going on all the time. And there was a lot of shitty stuff that happened while I was writing Powerful Juju. So, you know, and it kind of layers upon each other. So with my book, I wanted to give people that opportunity where, like, okay, I've done this and I've done that, and I still don't feel any better. I still don't feel any change. And I'm trying to tag back to what you were saying. Magic spelled with a K. So when I talk about magic with just the C, M-A-G-I-C, that's more like the emotion. Oh, it's such a magical thing. You know, when I put a K on the end of it, that's like actual work that you're doing. So what I'm trying to give to people is that next level of when you want to actually do something to make you feel better, you know, and take magic out of that realm as, oh, it's this mysterious thing that's done up in the castle and, you know, they're all out doing these chants. You know, it's all like,
it's happening in a 5th floor apartment.
I mean, of course, we all love the fairy tale and all that stuff, but really, it's a tool to help us in our lives. And witches have always been the healers.
Yeah.
They heal themselves. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, going back to talking about not being safe, and because people knew, like, what are they up to? What are they doing? Well, they're doing something to try to help a situation or change someone's life, you know, with their permission, if they're working for other people. And so it's like using a tool that you have in your drawer. And sometimes you pull out this one and sometimes you pull out that one. So it's really should be grounded in your life and trying to help yourself just have a more positive experience in living, because, you know, the shit comes down. And sometimes, you know, I, as a magical practitioner, always feel better, you know, when I can say, well, I think I've prayed, you know, I say the word prayer, people can say invocation, affirmation, whatever word works for you. But now I think I really need to get into the crossroads. I need to actually get up and go do something to help this situation. And some situations, they don't just resolve then, but, you know, you're taking steps to try to make them be better.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that you brought up prayer, because I did want to ask you about that. You do touch on prayer and invocation in the juju. And prayer is one of those words, kind of similar maybe to non-denominational, that you often only hear about within a Christian context, or certainly more broadly in a religious context. And so I think that can make a lot of new witches, new pagans, feel like prayer is not for us and is something that is like counter to pagan practice. For me, prayer is central to everything that I do. And when people ask me what is prayer to me, I just say it's a politely worded request to the universe. And that there may be fanciful language if that's your way of praying. There may be lots of repetition or music accompanying it, or a song, dance. There may be, you know, strong emotions. There may be what we call catching the spirit in the Southern Christian church. There may be influences or energies that take over your body. But at the end of the day, these are, you know, carefully worded requests that we are putting out into the universe, whether we're speaking directly to a spirit in particular, or just in general, to the energies of the universe. And I was hoping you could talk a little bit about prayer in the context of magical practice, outside of being involved in a tradition that has its own maybe structure for how to pray, when to do it, or how to do it for a new witch. What guidance can you give about prayer to maybe help them get over that weirdness about,
ooh, that word's so loaded. I know, I don't like it. Okay, so on this path as a witch, you are connecting to powerful forces in the universe. So I don't really care what you call that, how it works for you, but I will tell you, you know, none of us walk this path alone. And so I truly, you know, am aligned with my higher power, how that expresses for me. And that's the first place you got to start. You know, they've always said the line between magic and madness is very thin. And so people have to be humble also and give respect, like you give respect to your ancestors. If you were like, you know, talking to them on the other side, that's a form of divine communication. You can say prayer is your divine communication. I work with different goddesses, you know, people or deities who I deeply respect and appreciate and love for the help that they've given me when I've asked them to help me. So that is being humble, and that is showing respect to the divine mysteries of the universe. And if you're going to be working magic and being a witch, whether it's you love this tree or it's this pot over here or it's in a traditional situation, there are things that are a higher power. There are things that are greater than ourselves in the universe. And we're trying to connect with those things respectfully. So if you don't have that feeling of respect and a little bit of awe and maybe slightly intimidation, we're not going to go ahead in my book about certain things, but you'll read about when you approach certain things, you do feel like, whoa, this is a power greater than myself. And so that's also a good, you know, container for you when you are working magic, because magic can be serious, you know, and you should have that respect that you are doing something that is greater than yourself. And you always want to call upon your higher power and sit with that before you do these things, because none of us walk this path alone. So, and if you're a practicing witch, I would assume you already know there's things that you can't see.
Yeah,
there's feelings around you. I would think you would have that kind of feeling all the time that, oh, there's just like something like right here, but I can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't really know what that is, but, you know, we are highly intuitive, empathic people. So, yeah, that's what prayer is to me, because I am connecting to that, and I'm connecting to that power that is greater than myself. Who am I to say that I control the rising of the sun and the setting of the moon? I do not, but I appreciate that so much. And so I'm building a relationship with that over time. And that's, you know, that is what prayer in a magical sense, or your affirmation, you want to say, or your intention, you got to state it somehow. Mm-hmm. It has to be said something, even if it's in your own, just in your head quietly, or meditation. Everybody's big on meditation. Well, okay, you're going into that sacred space. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You're connecting with source. You're connecting with that power. So that's what that means to me.
Yeah, well, I always say meditation is a form of prayer. But thank you so much for describing it that way, because I myself have struggled to sort of explain like what I mean when I say that I am a witch and I am able to manipulate energy, or I am able to influence circumstances, but at the same time, I give offerings and make my requests directly to different entities or energies or spirits that I maybe cannot see in the physical world. I think there's a little bit of, sometimes that can seem kind of confusing, because it's like, well, wait, if you're so powerful and you can make things happen, then why do you need Saint so-and-so or the spirit of so-and-so? And I really appreciate you explaining that maybe it's less of a question of whether or not it's needed. I don't really know if it's needed, because I don't necessarily know the deep intricacies of why all that has been put into place in this universe are in place, and even how we're all connected. But what I do understand is respect. And I understand respect and honor for all beings that possess some wisdom that I do not have, whether it be an elder human person, whether it be a child with a particular skill, whether it be an entity that lived thousands of years ago. If I am going to anyone for assistance, then respecting them, even if I feel like I play a huge role in what is going to happen, having some respect for the energies around me are super important. And that energy doesn't have to necessarily be personified in an individual. It might be just respect for Mother Nature. It might be just respect for you know, the Sky Father. It might be just respect for the universal energies that are at play in general. However you conceive of that unseen force that is with all of us, prayer is really just a way of respecting and honoring it. And
absolutely.
I think people think of it as like a groveling thing. Like, I'm praying you to help me, and I'm so weak, and I'm so, and certainly for some people, that's, you know, how prayer is and what it is all about. But I think for witches, it's not that. It doesn't come from that place of like extreme subordinates and weakness on our part. So I think that's why people get caught up on it, because it's been painted to be this thing that you do as like the subservient,
right,
you know, begging on your knees, and really,
right,
it's more just saying, I respect you, unseen force that is
exactly what came to me while you were talking, and a word I think people can resonate with is reverence. You have reverence for this practice, this deity, for nature. And I also like to hit on the word pagan. You know, people somehow have equated pagans, which if you look it up, really just means a peasant person, a country dweller, that somehow we are disconnected from the divine. Like, we actually, we're seriously connected to the divine, because we find the divine in nature. And so that is our reverence point. This tree, these flowers, it's winter now. In the other parts of the world, it's, you know, spring or almost summer. And we are very attuned to that. So we have reverence for these things. And that is where our divine communication comes from. We are so connected, so attuned, more so than people really actually give us credit for. They think that we just, you know, we're not connected to the divine, but we are very connected to the divine as it expresses, you know, through nature and through our magical practices. And we have reverence for that. And when you have reverence for what you're doing and your magical practice, that's when you become powerful. That's where your power lies, because you respect that and you acknowledge it. So, you know, that's how that works out for me.
Yeah. And I think the reverence, first of all, that's a beautiful word. I think to really sum it up, but I definitely have had that conversation so many times with non-pagans, like, wait, you're a witch, you don't believe in God? No, actually quite the opposite. I actually believe all of those things that somebody took the time to write down about God, like how she's in everything and everywhere and all-knowing and not contained in a box, in a house, in a room, or behind a dude in a robe.
Right. You know, I may not, you know, go about it the same way, and I may not say God. I may say differently, but you're so off the track if you don't think that I'm a reverent person and I have reverence and respect for the divine, for the divine mysteries, just because it's not in this way that, you know, you feel comfortable with. There's billions of people on this planet. And so there are billions of paths, and you have to expand your awareness. You know, just because it doesn't look like this, you, doesn't mean that I'm not a reverent spiritual person. I probably may be more reverent and spiritual than you are, that person, because I'm really like actively doing it like every day, you know, every season. You know, it's not, you know, we just came out of the holidays and it's like, well, it's not just a day for me, it's a season. I still have things up because we're in winter. And when, you know, when spring comes, the spring equinox comes, then I'll change those things because I celebrate the entire season, not just this day. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yep, I absolutely know what you're saying. And that is something that oftentimes takes explaining, but I think is something special for the new witch or the baby witch to understand, that if you are coming to this practice from a place of feeling like concepts like prayer or God or things that you have to be separate from in order to embody the witch, that quite the opposite. Actually, it's coming to know these things in a very real and personal way that makes the witch. And I think what makes the non-witch is someone who's willing to listen to someone else's experience and just repeat it as their own. But witches are really out in the world, in nature, interacting with this higher power or bigger power that is around us and around all of the bodies of the universe.
Yes, my word is goddess. So, I love that word. You know, that may not work for everybody, but that's my word, and I love that, we're in the season of winter, and so we're doing winter things and celebrating, the season of winter and what that's like for us. And it's not just, we had the winter solstice. So that's one of our big days, because it's part of nature. That's real. It's actually scientific. I'm also big on science, so there's no separation with that. So we have the winter solstice. So we celebrate that, and then there's the holiday season. But I took down, my decorations and stuff. I still have things up. I'm still honoring winter. And so it is, it's a process. And, it's not just all bound up in this one day, and that really is, one of the bases of my witchcraft is, we're in the season, and then I do things for winter, and then spring will come, and then, we'll be in spring. And, and it can be hard because we're so used to it's just this one day. And okay, now it was this and this. So, no, it's a whole season. There's a long time that happens. So, and that's good because it gives you time. Now's a good time for a break.
This show is part of the Modern Witch Podcast Network. For more shows like it, visit www.modernwitch.com.
But speaking of the moon, and speaking of how we conceptualize of the goddess, of the universe and all, the divine feminine is quite a focal point of powerful juju. And I think that's really beautiful. I'm excited to explore all of the different entities that we're going to learn about, the different energies we're going to learn about. But I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about why it is that you focus on the divine feminine. And, is juju that something that je ne sais quoi, is it inherently feminine in your conceptualization of it? Is that what draws you to wanting to honor and explore the some of the divine feminine archetypes out there? Well, where does that come from in your practice?
Well, juju is, that's just a fluid term. Anybody can practice juju, but for me personally, I am of the divine feminine, and I truly believe that the power of the divine feminine has been persecuted and not been respected or honored. We've used that word God, which, is like triggering for me. Because to me, I don't feel the divine feminine in that word. And the divine feminine and witches who, attune themselves to the power of the moon and the cycles and Mother Nature, we don't get our due. So, I felt that it was time to turn and look to women who lived their lives, who were powerful icons of the divine feminine. And I chose to name, align them with the word goddess. I mean, some of them who walked the earth plane, who lived as human beings, they never called themselves goddess. But to me, they are, because, they embody how they triumphed over pain and suffering. And we, as, expressions of the divine feminine, a lot of times we don't get that. And it's a constant battle. We're not powerful, or you shouldn't listen to her, why? Why are we just cut out of the story? So I feel that it's time that we honor that, the divine feminine. She needs her due. She gets her respect. And that's very important to me. And these women that I wrote about in my book, they lived their lives out loud. And they were powerful in what they did. So that's, powerful juju. And all the songs that are in the book, except for one, are all sung by women. So, I mean, and you can't, you feel it. You can't ignore that. So that's always been very important to me. And that is really, if we want to talk about my path, what drew me to the path of witchcraft, because I was looking for the power of the divine feminine. I wanted to see and learn about things that gave me power as myself, and not feel like I was cut out of the path of power, of magic, of of learning reverence and prayer as an expression of the divine feminine as a woman. So that's very important to me.
Yeah, same. I think that is something that leads a lot of folks who identify as women to the craft, especially coming out of not even organized religions, but just a world that just really emphasizes the masculine and male figures, and that is so ready and willing to praise and honor and respect males or identifying males for the things that they accomplish or discover, etc. You know, there's always that saying, behind every powerful man is a powerful woman or something like that, you know?
I remember that phrase.
And why are we behind? Excuse me. And I think about, like, in my own relationship, my marriage with a husband, with someone who is identifies as a man. And, you know, honey, I got to say, standing right by side, and sometimes definitely out in front.
Okay? Exactly. Why am I walking 3 steps behind you? What is that all about?
I think a lot of women in relationships, in marriages in particular with men, it very much a lot of times is like, no, I'm not pushing him from the back. I am in the front dragging his ass. Like, come on, follow your dreams, step into your power, you can do this, you know.
Right, so, exactly.
I agree with you wholeheartedly that there's been a historical imbalance, sometimes we do really need to focus on the marginalized community in order to restore the balance. You know, if things are like this, podcasters who can't hear me, but if one tip of the scale is way up here and the other's up here, just addressing each group equally is never going to restore that balance. You have to put more weight on the side that is too elevated to kind of, you know, lift up the other. And I really appreciate that you do that. And just quickly before we get into just a couple of questions, so Coven members, if you guys have any questions, please do leave them in the Q&A box or in the chat. I am going to be going to the questions shortly. But before we get into that, I could not let you go without touching on the music aspect. This is important. It's a big feature in both of your books. It's obviously a big feature in your practice. But also in just looking things up and doing a little bit of research, I was actually surprised to find that Juju refers to a style of music. I did not realize that. I had thought of Juju as, you know, magical practice that incorporates things like talismans and charms and different crafts and things like that. But one of the meanings is a style of music popular among the Yoruba in Nigeria and characterized by the use of guitars and variable pitch drums. And I was like, oh, wow, what do you know? Juju actually is a type of music. I don't know if Najat even realizes that because that is so wild. Your books and your practice are so interlinked with music that is appropriate for raising the energy or really connecting to a particular spirit. So did you know that?
Well, I know about Juju beads. Yeah. I have Juju beads like on a shaker belt, but I never like connected the two the way you just said it until right now. That's awesome.
Shout out to Wikipedia.
That's great. That's fantastic. Yeah. Juju music. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love that. That's awesome.
I know, I'm going to be looking that up.
That is so cool. And I do. I was gifted with Juju beads long, long time ago, and they make this wonderful sound. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I love that. I love that sound. And, you know, it's a sound that you recognize internally when you hear it. You know, we haven't talked about drums and like guitars and all that kind of stuff in the music. And so, you know, I think music is so healing and wonderful and magical, and it just adds that extra powerful layer to your practice. And I loved highlighting like different types of music and different songs and, you know, no disrespect to a lot of the pagan ceremonies, but, you know. I like it. Can we get some R&B up in here?
Right, yes.
You know, I like to dance and I love listening to music, and you know, I feel that bass, you know, in there, and that bump, and you know, and the sound and the singing, and that's healing, you know, that's also very magical and healing. So yes, it was awesome. It was quite a a journey to put all of that together, the music, the goddesses, the words, the rituals, the rites. And I have to say, I'm super proud. That's all my original content. It's all my stuff.
Yeah.
So I write the songs, but you know, everything else, yeah. Yeah,
I'm excited because in Good Juju, you share with us a playlist and different songs that can help us to connect to different energies, or that might be particularly inspiring to listen to while doing different types of works. And in this book, it's structured so that each chapter has a song that goes with it. So Bronze Witch Coven Book Club members, definitely, when we read this book, we've got to listen to each song with each chapter, because I just feel like that is going to totally immerse us deeply in the book and in the vibe and in the energy. Because for me, music is very impactful, so much so that I have to be careful. I think it's because of my Libra moon, but I don't know. I'm like a baby astrologer, so I don't really know. But I think it's because of my Libra moon. Music affects my emotions very deeply. And so I have to be careful, because if I put on music that's particularly sad or really like down or about really difficult things, my whole mood will take a 180. And so,
mine too. Mine too. I have to go. I have to turn that off. Ooh, I have to turn that song off. I can't hear that right now.
I'll be in tears in the middle of the shop because music came on, or in the grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, I'm walking around in the grocery store and all of a sudden I'm like tearing up at the register because of this song. When I was in high school once, I was a big fan of Eminem. I guess I still am. This doesn't make as much music, but I was a big Eminem fan. And one of my girlfriends like stopped me on the street and I was like, oh, hey. And she's like, you listening to Eminem? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, you can totally tell by the way you're walking, because my whole countenance just changes to reflect whatever it is that I'm listening to. And so I don't listen to a lot of pop music really these days, because I listen to a lot of like mantras and chants and just like lo-fi beats and things like that, that just kind of have like a steady mood to kind of keep me in that type of place. Because, you know, one Journey song and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, and then the next thing you know Tupac's got me crying about, you know, Brenda and her baby, and like I'm all over the place.
Music is great. And one thing that, you know, I didn't touch on in this book is that I love classical music. Mm-hmm. And so here's a secret to share with your coven members. When I'm writing, I listen to classical music.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
And because there's so much in classical music that informs other music. I'm not a musician. I don't play an instrument, but I love learning about classical music. And it, for a long time, I couldn't understand it or hear it. But now, for me, that's peaceful for me to write. And it actually, and there's something about the composers, and you know, a lot of the composers, they were really struggling people. Like I was just listening to a piece the other day and they were saying the composer was having like a psychiatric breakdown when he wrote this thing. Or, you know, or there's some of those, you know, there's I forget what it's called, something, I think it's Canon Fugue, you know, for the Halloween music with the organ.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And that really helps my mind just kind of go away. And I like knowing that they too were struggling, but they wrote all this beautiful music. And and I like learning about the different, how it's staged. And so I like all kinds of music, you know, and for a while now I've been really like, I recognize that classical tune, you know, because it's all, I also want to say that I find that most people who are practicing witches or on the path of the craft, we're very heady, intelligent people.
Yeah.
And so it's good to keep our minds stimulated and learning.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, like this new, you know, this new relationship I'm having with classical music is also doing something for my mind and for my craft. And that's really like when I'm like working on my spells, which I'm doing right now, that I wrote that are getting ready to come out in 2024. I'm listening to classical music when I'm like, you know, envisioning what I want to do, because otherwise I'm hearing, like you said, I'm grinding and bumping along, you know, and working, you know, but the classical piece helps me focus. So it's all different kinds.
Yeah, I love that. And I definitely encourage, you know, our listeners, our watchers, to incorporate music into your practice if you have it already. See how it changes things for you to have music on during your rituals. And, you know, like Najah says, it doesn't have to be like, you know, old school pagan tunes or, you know, the earth, the wind, the water. Like, we've heard it. We've been there. We got it. Okay. We've sung that a million times. Okay, so we can maybe spice it up a little bit.
We can spice it up a little bit. Let's spice it up a little bit.
Play some things that really speak to you and
exactly
move you in the direction that you're trying to move energy and see how that contributes to everything. Because back to the science bit, you know, music is math, it's energy, it's light, it's you know, all kinds of things in so many ways. So it doesn't surprise me at all that music can affect us so deeply and affects many people. So I love that you incorporate this music element into your writing and that you share with us some of the music that has informed you in your path.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Absolutely. I want to see, before I let you go, if there are any questions for you. So folks, if you have not yet dropped your questions, please do so. Looks like we have a couple of questions in the chat. Yeah, I saw Jeremy left a comment that he said, I was going to be honest, I didn't know that juju was a real thing. You know, you hear about the term thrown around, but you don't really think about it as like something that you can really conceive of. But yeah, in my research, it's a style of music. It's a spiritual belief system, and it is a term that is fairly popular in certain groups.
Yeah.
June asks, any tips on tuning in to your internal juju? I feel like I'm reconnecting, but something is missing or blocking me. Much love.
Practice. That's really, I know everybody hates that word.
Right? You're like, oh, work, really? Man.
Just be consistent, you know, in however that shows up for you. You know, if you're having a hard time connecting, then maybe how you're connecting isn't working for you. Maybe you just need to, like, just get rid of that stuff for a while and just be with nature. Maybe you just get up and look at the moon or look at the sun, you know, and take a moment or look at your environment around you and just feel like what feels magical to you. You know, sometimes we can have too much stuff around us. And if you're having a hard time connecting, maybe you're just not, you know, those things aren't giving you what you need. So maybe you just need to kind of clear your space out a little bit and go for a walk, you know, allow yourself to be inspired, see what inspires you, and then follow that feeling of inspiration, and that can help you connect. And that could be a book, it could be a movie, it could be, I don't know, a pair of shoes in a window, you know, it could be anything. So yeah, sometimes, you know, connections drop or change, but always if you come back to nature and what's out there for you, however, maybe it's a little plant that you find or, you know, that you have, maybe that little plant will be your inspiration and talk to you. So allow yourself to be inspired. And if something isn't inspiring you, you know, as a magic person, then that connection probably just isn't there anymore. And you just need to kind of change it up.
It's okay. I agree. And I think rest is another component there. I definitely believe in, you know, the absence makes the heart grow fonder adage. And I have found that to be true in my own practice. And so sometimes I've had to just take breaks from my own daily rituals or my monthly rituals or whatever it is that I'm usually attuning myself to. If it feels like I'm doing it just to be doing it, or I'm doing it and I'm not seeing results, it might be that a relationship that I was formulating with an energy has run its course. And I'm still over here leaving offerings and working an altar. And they were like, B, so I did what you asked me for. I'm out here. I wasn't trying
right
to do this forever.
Right.
And I'm over here still trying to make it happen. And taking a step back and giving myself a break a lot of times allows me to be like, okay, you know what? After a couple of weeks, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited to get to my altar. Oh, I'm so excited to get out and take this nature walk. Or I'm so excited to do this full moon bath or, you know, what have you. But I needed to give myself a break to readjust and see, you know, if I'm forcing something or if a relationship has run its course or there's a new way that I want to approach things or something that I want to lay to the side. And I think that one of the fears that we have sometimes is about that respect. Like, is this disrespectful to a spirit to no longer have an altar to them or things like that? And I think that, you know, if you have intention and you are clear in what you're doing, that you're going to be okay. So, you know, don't neglect your altar to an ancestor or a spirit that you work with, but you might intentionally shut it down. You might say, I need a break, I need to, and I put a cloth over it or turn my glasses upside down or turn my pictures around or in some way indicate that I'm taking a break, I still honor you, I still respect you, and I'm so grateful for your presence in my life, but I need time to readjust or time for myself. And
well, and here's a nice magical tip for your coven members, yes. Something that we don't talk about a lot. In this work, we're always, you know, being reverent and asking and this and that and, you know, doing these things. But, you know, there are times, and I have done this myself, where you can ask them, you know, like, hey, I spent all this time in reverence with you and I'm doing these magical practices and this and that, and I'm in a really hard place right now. And this just isn't working for me. How about you help me for a change? Mm-hmm. You know, it is a two-way, it's a communication. Mm-hmm. You know, and especially when you're working with the ancestors, you know, I've been in place in spaces where it's like, look, y'all are on the other side. I'm still over here on the earth plane. Could you like send me something, you know,
right.
Because this is like really hard right now where I'm
right. Respectfully, I want rum and I can't afford milk.
Exactly.
For my babies.
You know, so like I'm like doing this every day or every full moon or whatever. And, you know. In some of my research, there was a passage in one of the books I was doing research, and I can't remember which book it was from, and it just cracked me the hell up. Like, people were praying for rain, and they had a rain god, and it didn't rain. So they were like, so then they were like, took it and like, okay, well, you sit outside here in the desert and see how you like it. So then maybe you'll understand why we would like some water.
Right.
You know, do you mind? You know, and I think that's powerful too, to go, hey, okay, I'm human. I'm still here on this earth plane dealing with all these sorrows and trials and tribulations. Could you like give me something? You know, it's not that I'm not going to continue to respectfully honor you, but I'm in a spot right now where if you could send some powerful good juju my way, I would really appreciate it because I just don't have it right now.
Right.
And that's absolutely keeping it real.
Absolutely. We have another question from Linda. She says, seems prayer, music, and practicing the work are elements of your practice. What are some other elements of your practice that you're comfortable sharing, of course?
Outside of those things?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I could have, you know, stock in a candle warehouse.
Yeah, so candle magic's
a part day of that goes by that I do not light a candle.
Yes.
If I don't have a candle burning somewhere all the time in my house, in some room or on some altar, I don't feel right.
Yeah.
Even when I'm sick or not feeling well, which I talk about things I've been through in Powerful Juju, I always manage to get up and light a candle.
Yeah.
You know, I love salt lamps. I have salt candle holders. I have candle holders in all different colors. I have all different kinds of candles. You know, so I am constantly burning candles. Mm-hmm. And I really don't talk about that too much. But yeah, I am a candle freak. And wow. I never have enough. And if I see that my candles supply is getting low, I get super nervous. Mm. So I do that. And then the other thing that, you know, I barely touch upon that is really, truly part of my magical practices is I journal. So I am truly a writer. I write almost every day. I've had journals my whole life. I'm a person that would write on walls if I didn't have paper. So I am a very committed, dedicated journaler. And I know journaling, you know, you either like it, you either do it or you don't. But for me, at my core is that I journal. I write almost every day.
Yeah, I've kept a diary since I was about 8, and I have all of them.
Yep.
I've kept all of them. I don't know why. God only knows, like, what I think someone might want with my 8-year-old. Ramblings about, like, my first page of, like, my journal was, like, my mom is giving me $7 a week for allowance, and I have to, like, do the dishes and clean my room, and I get $7. And I had, like, a budget chart for, like, what I was going to spend it on and, like, how long I had to do things for. Why would anyone want that? I don't know.
I don't know. But I'm the same way. Yeah, and if I feel like I'm getting, like, if I see the pages or, like, only have a few left, I have to get a new one.
I buy a new one way before I have
to. Yeah, I could probably, like, distill. I love your word distill, by the way. Mm. Distill it all down and just have journal and a candle. Yeah. That would be enough for me.
Yeah.
But, you know. As a witch, you just start collecting things and you learn things. But really, that's, you know, that's my core. A journal and a candle.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. So can you please just let us know what you are working on or where we can find you if there's anything in particular that we should be paying close attention to right now?
Sure. Well, right now I'm working on this week. I'm under deadline to finish the revisions on my spells for Llewellyn's 2024 Spell-A-Day Almanac. Ooh. So I'm really excited about that. I posted about that, like, it's the revisions that really tell you where you're at as a writer. You know, you have all this fun, oh, I wrote out, and then they send it back and they're like, well, so yeah, so I got to finish that. So that I'm working on that. And then this is the new year. It's crazy. Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year.
In April, I'm going to be in Baltimore at the Between the World Sacred Spaces Conference. Oh, so I am very excited. I'm teaching three workshops, and one is called Groove With Me, and it's all going to be about music and magic. And then we're going to do, I'm teaching a class on a rite for Tituba. So, yes, we love Tituba. And then the third one, which I'm really excited about, I'm teaching a class on doll magic. Because if you follow me on Instagram, you know I'm all about dolls. And, you know, you either have the doll thing or you don't. And I definitely have the doll thing. So we could talk about that another time.
Yes, we can. You want to be a better doll witch for sure. I've seen some of your doll posts. Some of them are a little creepy.
I'm talking about husbands. My husband, he's like, okay, that one is staying over here. I don't want to have that one over here. My kids, my son, he's like, I'm like, did you see my new doll? He's like, Mom, okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to meet? No.
I'm pretty sure I just blinked at me and I'm leaving the house.
I don't want to meet that one, but Mom, I love you so much. But that doll, that particular one, there was one I wanted to bring home real quick one time from a flea market. It was a little clown. Oh, that's another thing. Oh, I know. We're getting way off. Okay, another conversation. But it had these little porcelain shoes, and it had a key in the back, and the shoes, like, clicked together. My husband was like, absolutely not. Looking for the little clown.
Under no circumstances are you
click shoes and the little key in the... I know. A lot of my friends are just like, no. But we all have our things, you know. But yes. I do have a thing for dolls.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Definitely. You got to, folks, learn more about that retreat. Go and take some of those classes. That sounds incredible. Retreats in general and conferences are great ways to connect with community and to have that fellowship that we talked about.
Absolutely.
At the top of the hour. So go and find a job at this conference and make sure to follow her and stay in touch. And
yes, I'm on Instagram. Instagram is my happy place now. So
Let
them find me. I'm hanging out on Instagram. I'm really enjoying the Instagram platform.
Oh, okay, cool. So find Najah on Instagram. And Najah, I just want to thank you so, so much for being with us. You shared so much of your own juju in this space with us. And I thank you so much about just for teaching us so much and sharing so much of your practice with us, because when we know better, we witch better.
Thank you, and thank you so much. I love your platform, and thank you for what you do and for all your coven members. I wish you good juju, good and powerful juju always. So thank you so much.
Thank you, witches, for tuning in to another episode of the Better Witch Podcast. New episodes air on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Bronx Witch Coven YouTube channel and on your favorite podcast platforms. No matter where you're tuning in from, we want to know what you think about today's episode. So make sure to leave us a review wherever you are. A special thank you to Bronxwich Coven members whose membership makes this episode possible. If you'd like to tune in to the live recording sessions, watch the behind-the-scenes footage, and participate in the Q&A for future episodes, consider joining the Bronxwich Coven. You can support this podcast by grabbing some sweet merch over in the Bronxwich merch shop, sponsoring an episode with an ad spot, or following us on Instagram at Better Witch Podcast. Remember, witches, when we know better, we witch better. See you in the next episode, and blessed be.